Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups, Sr., the Poets Without Limits Radio. Welcome, everyone. It's a good evening. Had a great weekend. Those of you that joined me, Dr. Paul, Tim and Angel Hunter, this past weekend, Saturday, October the 8th, at Media Books Incorporated for the Finance, Fitness, and Health Seminar. We want to thank you for coming. Thank you for coming out. We had a great time, great information. So we just want to continue to do that. Also, look out for our next Finance, Fitness, and Health Seminar in December. So I will give you more information. Obviously, you can follow us on social media. Go to my website. Check out Dr. Paul Hopkins' website. You can get the information that you need. Also, Tim and Angel Hunter's website to find out the information and social media when the next event will be. And it's going to be in December. Had a great time. I want to give you a little information as well quickly on some of the activities that I have coming up this month in October as well as the beginning of November. Saturday, October the 22nd, the Better Business Solutions Expo and Conference. It's going to be at Finley Recreational Center, 7701 Mansfield Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and that's 10 to 3 p.m. And then October the 29th, we're going to have the Man Cave again with Mr. Gregory Brown, 10 to 2 p.m. in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I'll get that address for you. And then I'm excited about this one. I mean, well, I'm excited about them all, obviously. I'm excited about them all. But I was invited to meet this pastor a couple weeks ago and at the Writers Conference. And on November the 3rd through the 5th, so that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the Kingdom Empowerment Conference. That's at St. John's Church of the Apostolic Faith, Pastor Bert Wright. That's 220 North 27th Street, Camden, New Jersey. Again, November the 3rd through the 5th, Kingdom Empowerment Conference, 220 North 27th Street, Camden, New Jersey, St. John Church of the Apostolic Faith with Pastor Bert Wright. Met Pastor Bert Wright a couple weeks, first time I met him. I'm going to be doing a segment there for them on financial stewardship. So please join us. There's going to be a lot of great things. You can go to their website, our social media page, and I think you'll find the information that you need in terms of even going to Eventbrite to pay if you want to join the conference. Again, I believe it's going to be a great conference. I'm going to say that again, November the 3rd through the 5th, Kingdom Empowerment Conference, 220 North 27th Street, Camden, New Jersey, St. John Church of the Apostolic Faith with Pastor Bert Wright. Okay, and then on Thursday at 7 p.m., I think it goes to about 10, and then Friday the same thing, and then Saturday I think it begins at 9 o'clock. I'll get those times for you as well. Okay, again, you're on with Financial Fitness with Derek T. Bell Sr. Remember, we talked about last week, we talked about starting the Financial Fitness Challenge. And last week we started the first week, which was your position, your financial position. Where are you financially? And we talked about a slew of things, and we wanted to make sure that you have a better understanding. And you took this week to be proactive. It's up to you. When we do the Financial Fitness Challenge, it's not up to me. It's up to you to join in, take that week, find out where you need to do, the changes you need to make, things you need to do. Let's just be real. The things you need to do to get you back on your financial track and find out the position that you're currently in and how do you move from there. And we want to keep it simple. We always keep it simple here. And again, as I mentioned before, constantly talking to other professionals, bringing other professionals on. And when I do an hour show, which it is this evening, and I'll be real, the reason why I wanted to do an hour show, we have that great debate coming on. I think this is important. Things that are happening in this country is important, and a great debate is going on this evening, presidential debate at 9 o'clock, and I want people to be paying attention to that. You can always get a copy of this if you need, if you're not able to listen to me live. But again, today is an hour show. We're talking in reference to the Financial Fitness Challenge as well as Financial Planning 101. And I'm going to give you some things that you need to, some areas that you need to focus on your current situation. But here, week one on the Financial Fitness Challenge was your position. Week two is your credit score. Now, understanding your credit score, where you can get your credit score from, knowing the number, knowing the FICO score, the FICO number, understanding all that, getting all that information so that you know what your score is, understanding it, and trying to do everything you need. Not trying. Trying allows you to fail with honor, putting things in place so that then you can move forward. So last week we talked about your financial position, okay? And I'm just going to briefly kind of talk about a few things. Okay, where you are, who influences your money, the people that influence your money, do you have financial goals? Again, who influences what you're doing, how they influence what you're doing? Do you have financial goals? Do you have an understanding? Do you have a budget? So there's certain things you need to do to understand where you are. Do you have a checking account, savings account? Are you saving? Do you have a retirement account? Where are you financially? Where do you need to be? What do you need to accomplish? What are you trying to accomplish? When are you retiring? Do you understand when you're retiring? Again, do you have a budget? Where are you? Where are you financially right now? And understanding that. And so what we tried to do last week, and I keep using the word try, and I'm going to stop using that word because I don't believe in that word. What we wanted to do was to get you to have a better focus on where you are and putting things right down, putting everything down, being honest, and just trying to put everything out. What my credit is, I don't have a checking account, a savings account. I know that seems minute and seems very simple to people, but there's a lot of folks that don't have those things. And we want to make sure that you're on the right page there. So your position, where are you? How do you get to where you need to be? And I think when you get through the next 7 weeks of the Financial Fitness Challenge, I think you'll be able to sense where we're going. And again, this 8-week Financial Fitness Challenge is not the end of all. It is just part of some of the things that you need to do. And as you move along, you will start to pick up areas. And again, you may be strong in areas here when we get to the challenge than maybe you are in some of the other areas. So we want you to be, and want you to say, okay, this is an area I need to work on. What do I need to do? How do I improve? And then we start to talk, we get more specific. And how do you get more specific? You talk to your professionals. You talk to financial professionals, people where you see you're weak at, you go to the professionals that have that expertise, and then they can help you to solve many of those problems. And that's what we do here. We bring it up, we put it out, and then we help you solve it. And if we can't solve it, then we hopefully we can guide you to the right type of person, can give you an idea of what you need to do and where you need to go. And one of the things we do now, and again, we're on week 2, which is your credit score. And we want you to understand the credit bureaus, what are they? Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. Can you go to them? You go to them, you get what you need. Who do you call up to get your score? How do you see things on TV, Credit Karma, places like this. I'm not trying, I don't want to give you too much information because the key is that you become proactive. So on week 2, if it's your credit score, you need to go and research. Do what's necessary and do what's needed. I just gave you a few things. I don't want to give you any more because the more I give you, the less you have to do. And it's all about you being proactive and you taking charge. When you take charge, then you have a better understanding of where you are and how do you handle it. And again, you can come on the show, get more information from us, and as we give you more information, and then as we have other professionals come on, they will give you more information. Because again, we'll have credit specialists come on, mortgage people, mortgage lenders, real estate agents, CPAs, bankers, attorneys, investment counselors, financial advisors, insurance agents. We'll have these kind of professionals on that can help you dig right in. So first week was your position, financial position. Where are you and what does that mean? That just totally means where are you? Where are you? Where are you in terms of where you are? Are you investing or do you have your insurances in place? Do you have, and I remember I talk about the 3 P's, which is protection, preservation, and profit. The 3 P's is protection, preservation, and profit. And when we talk about where you are in your position, you should be in a certain position with your protection. You should be in a certain position with your preservation. And then if you handle those two properly, then you can get into the profit. But we want to know where you are in terms of your financial position. And then this week, you need to focus on your credit score. Find your credit score if you don't know it. Get your credit score. Try to get an understanding why the score is where it is. And then we keep moving from there. So that's what we want. That's your challenge this week, your credit score. Now, again, I know people are saying, well, I know my credit score. I know what it is and all of those things. And that's great. But what we want you to do is to be able to get a better understanding of where it is, how you got it, what do you need to do to improve it, how do you improve it, And then we focus on that. And then what we do after the challenge, we start bringing people in. I go right down the aisle, and I go right down the challenge, and I bring people in that can help you with these specific areas. I'll help you, and then I'll bring other professionals on that can also get involved and give you a little more information, and probably information that may be in a different manner. And again, that's kind of the focus here, is to make sure that I give you what I can give you, my expertise, and then I'll bring other people and maybe give you a different spin on it, take you in a different direction. Give you pretty much the same information, but give it to you in a different way. Sometimes you can hear from me, and sometimes you can't. And when you can't hear from me, if I bring other people on, the concept here, the idea is to make sure you get it. As a former teacher, and when we educate, our responsibility is to break it down to a simplest form so that our students get it. We want every student to get it. And of course, some students get it better than others. Some students maybe get it faster than others. But our responsibility is to make sure our students get it before we move on to something else. And as I spoke last week, I had a great conversation with the pastor about his church having, or his membership having, a 9-week program, a financial program. And he was saying at the end of that 9-week program, a couple weeks after this, some of the members was coming back to him. They were coming back to him and stating that it just wasn't working. And he was asking me, what did I think went wrong or what was happening? And one of the things I can tell you, without knowing him, without knowing the members, obviously not knowing exactly what was going on, one of the things I said to him, did they have a firm financial foundation? And what is that? And that's what we're talking about here. We work on building a firm financial foundation. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of the hardcore investing and things like that. We'll talk about those things, but you have to have a firm foundation, firm financial foundation. And that's why the position is first in this challenge. That's why the position is first. Where are you? Do you have a firm financial foundation? And that's why one of the things we do is we constantly talk about that and try to bring it to light and make sure that's in the forefront of who you are, in the forefront of who you are. And that's why when you're dealing with things financially, and actually when you're dealing with anything, if you get any kind of education, you're doing anything, you need to have a foundation, your house, the home that you live in. If you live in an apartment, wherever you live, it's built on a foundation, a firm foundation. The foundation is what keeps that building up. And if that foundation is not strong, I don't care what kind of walls you have, I don't care what kind of furniture you have, I don't care what kind of roof you have, eventually that will fall. Eventually it will fall. Sooner than later, if the foundation is not strong. At some point, all structures will fall. But if you have a firm foundation on that structure, it will last a heck of a lot longer than the other ones that have a very weak foundation. So we're going to get into those things. I'm going to bring you back today what's going on with me in the next couple of weeks, in the rest of October and the beginning of November. Then we're going to get right into financial planning 101, just some basic areas that you and your family can look at, some of the things you need to have. And again, we're on the financial fitness challenge, the 8-week challenge, and the first week was your position, which was last week. This week, week two is your credit score. So get that information. Be proactive about it. Get the information that you need. Do what you need to do, and then we'll talk again about it next week. I'll give you some more concepts, some more strategies, and things of that nature to help you move through. So we're going to take a short break. We'll listen to this song, Oh.
Come on, y'all ready for this one? Here we go. Hey. It seems
like yesterday
how you made a way.
How you made a way. One, two, three, come on, say.
Oh.
Now what does your O mean?
Oh.
Does it mean breakthrough? Come on.
Oh.
Does it mean power? Come on.
Oh.
Does it mean a made up mind?
Oh.
What does it mean to you?
Oh.
Does it mean health and strength?
Oh.
Does it mean overtake?
Oh.
Fall off and just tell me, say.
Oh.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on, say.
Oh.
Now think back.
Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. on the Poets Without Limits Radio. Welcome back, everyone. Again, let me give you a little more housekeeping again. This is Derek T. Billups Sr. You can always reach me at www.f4ff.net, Financial Fitness at f4ff.net. Call me at area code 856-577-2903. You can reach me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Follow me on those social media areas as well. Get any information you need from me. Always give me a call, text me, anything you need to do to get in contact with me. And always, also, when you go on my website, go on to media. If for some reason you missed this portion, you can always get it on my website, pull it up, and sometimes you'll be able to pull it up as well on Facebook. Give you a little more housekeeping again. October the 22nd, that's 2 weeks, on the Better Business Solutions Expo and Conference at the Finley Rec Center, 7701 Mansfield Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's 10 to 3 p.m. Again, a Better Business Solution Expo and Conference. Finley Recreation Center, 7701 Mansfield Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 10 to 3 p.m., 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. That following Saturday, October the 29th, back with Mr. Gregory Brown at the Man Cave from 10 to 2 p.m. October the 29th from 10 to 2 p.m. with Mr. Greg Brown at the Man Cave. Then, November the 3rd through the 5th in Camden, New Jersey, 220 North 27th Street, St. John Church of the Apostolic Faith with Pastor Burt Wright, Kingdom Empowerment Conference. That's right, the Kingdom Empowerment Conference, November the 3rd through the 5th, 220 North 27th Street, Camden, New Jersey, St. John Church of the Apostolic Faith with Pastor Burt Wright. So those are my three upcoming events. Hope to see you there, get more information. Obviously, you can go on Facebook, see all this information and catch up, get some dates that you want. Maybe you want to join us at those events. I think they're going to be great events. I know they're going to be great events. I think October the 22nd, the Better Business Solutions Expo and Conference, that's the first annual one. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So join me there. Again, and I just want to say, again, give a great thanks to Dr. Paul Hopkins, Amedia Books Incorporated, Miss M's, Books Incorporated, and Diane. Just giving you guys a great shout-out for your support and your help for the Finance, Fitness, and Health Seminar, which was October the 8th. And just want to give those guys a great thing, and Tim and Angel Hunter as well. So look forward to look out for our next Finance, Fitness, and Health Seminar coming up quickly. Again, we're back here with Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. We just went over the first 15 minutes or so. We talked a little about your position, and this week will be your credit score. That's for our Financial Fitness Challenge. For those of you just joining us, we're on our Financial Fitness Challenge. That's an 8-week challenge. Week one was last week, which was your financial position, just your whole position, putting everything on the table, seeing where you are, being honest with yourself, getting a feel of what you're doing, where you are, how you're achieving things, if you're achieving things, who's influencing your money, where you put your money, what are you doing, are you on track for your retirement, do you have financial goals, whether it be individual, family, business, educational, business, whatever. Do you have goals? Do you have things in place? Do you know what direction you're heading in? That's the position. That's your financial position. And then this week, you're to take your time, take the week, and look for and look out for your credit score. I know it seems simple to you, but we want you to make sure you got your score, you know your number, where you can get it. If you don't have it, how do you get it? How do you got it? How the number get there? What do you need to do to improve it? How do you need to check it out? All of those great things about your credit score, the impact it has on your life, the impact it has on your financial life. So that's week two. So So that's what you should be working on now. That's what you should be focusing on. So that's the financial fitness challenge. Now we're talking about financial planning 101. And we're just going to get into some real basic areas to help you and your family, depending on where you are. There's so many different areas. People are single. They're living together, whether we like it or not. It's the truth. My responsibility is to go in every man's world to help people there and then hopefully steer them in the right direction if they're maybe doing things maybe not necessarily in the right way, help them to move in the right direction. So if you're single, they're living together, and what we call DINKs, I know you know these, that's dual income, no kids. Then you may be single parents. Then you may have two careers, both husband and wife are working. Traditional family, what we may call traditional, really two careers may become maybe more about traditional. Traditional, when they talk about husband works, wife stays at home, that was 20, 30, 40 years ago. Even though it still happens, it's not as prevalent. So I'm going to still use the word traditional, even though maybe two careers may be more traditional now than before. And then blended families where you have kids from two different marriages when parents are remarried, and then you have kids, younger kids from two separate marriages come together into one, and that's blended. So the new husband has family from a previous marriage. Obviously, the wife has children from your previous marriage, and when those two marry, then you bring in the kids from the previous marriages, and that's what you call a blended family. And then you have a sandwich family, where you may have grandparents or parents of a spouse come in and live with you, and then they add, and that's what you call a sandwich family. So I just wanted to give you a little history of that. So as I go down the line and talking a little about maybe what we believe you need in terms of financially. And again, this is not the end of all. These are just suggestions, things that you can work on. And then as you get more specific, as we get more specific, or as you need to get more specific, then you will sit down with a professional to help you get more specific to your specific needs. Because even though you may be single, I don't know where you are financially. I'm just talking about things you need to have in place, you should have in place, and you should be considering. And as you're considering those things, those areas, what you can do then is then you can say, okay, I need to sit with a professional who then can help you and guide you and give you some strategies and directions to move you in the correct area. So that's what we want to do. All right, single. Few things. We talk about the guardian against emergencies, things like that. Build a cash reserve. And equal usually to about 3 months or so. And sometimes that's difficult. And one of the things I always say to people when I have given a workshop or talking with people and they ask me a question about, when we say 3 months emergency fund, they say, well, that's difficult. Yes, it is. But we're talking about steps. So you put some money aside every month if you're saving. And again, if you have a budget, then you should be saving. You're setting money aside. And then what you want to do is you set aside until you get to that three-month reserve. And when you get to a three-month reserve, you put it somewhere where it's accessible quickly. Because if it's an emergency, the last thing you want to have to do is say, I have to call someone, I have to fill out some forms to get my money. No, and emergency means right now. Emergency doesn't mean I need to wait 3, 4, 5 days to try to get my money. Emergency means right now. So what you want to do is make sure it's in a place that is accessible, flexible, available. Any word you want to use, you want to make sure you can get it right now. And so that's what's important. So again, have a cash reserve or build a cash reserve. And when I say build, that's why that word build, I put build in that, not have one. Build. Build means, you know, one step at a time, one phase at a time, and that's what you do, and that's how you get to your cash reserve or 3 month cash reserve. Even if you can do it as much as possible, if you can have 4 or 5, that makes it even better. Okay? If you're younger, earlier, and you don't have any children and things of that nature, you can start trying to maybe, you know, save money in a way. At that point, I always talk about a scenario. I talk about, are you more interested in the return of your money as opposed to return on your money? Okay, the older you get, the more mature you get, the closer you get to retirement, you're more interested in the return of your money. Why? Because when you retire, you need to have that money there so that it can be used at that point. You're not trying, again, it may not be an emergency fund, but you're not trying to wait for your money either. That's a different scenario. As you be mature and you're looking to retire, you're looking for the return of your money. Okay, you, at that point, the buildup of your money is not an interest. The interest is I need my money there. But when you're younger, maybe you can look at as you're investing and putting money aside, whether it be an annuity, whether it be in your 401k or your job, maybe it be in 403b, somewhere like that, particularly if it's inside something, then you're looking to be as aggressive as you possibly can be. Why? Because now you're looking for the return on your money. Because now you're younger, you don't have any real responsibilities over what you have. You don't have children, you don't have a spouse, things of that nature. So now you're in a better position to take risks. So and it allows you to build. So now you can get involved in those things. But again, it's better to have an understanding. And because you're single, that way you need to make sure as you're building up your reserve, things like a disability policy, making sure, obviously, the other necessary policies that you need to have. You have a car insurance, those type of things. You need to have those things in place so that because you're usually, if you're single, you may be a little younger at this point, so you may be a little more aggressive. So if you decide, and that's what the recommendation is, when you're talking to a professional, if you want to get involved more heavily in investing, then you have certain things in area. You have your reserve in place. If you're working on a job that gives you a 401k or some kind of pension program, you're making sure you're maximizing that first. You can be aggressive with that, maximize that first, because it's accumulating the best kind of way, tax deferred. Then once you do that and you have the other insurances that you need in place, like maybe see a disability policy, and hopefully you have a health insurance policy on your job. If not, you need to get one. And those things in place, then you can look to really be aggressive in investment and things, and then you can focus on the return on your money as opposed to return of your money. So that's important there. Then we move on to an area such as living together. Again, if you're living together, not that we recommend that, but if that's what's happening, you live together, you consider joint checking accounts for the common household expenses. So, for example, if you're living together, you're living somewhere. If it's a home, it's an apartment, it's still, the responsibility is still for you to maintain it just as if you were married. So if you have electric bill, rent, water bill, phone bill, any bill that you may have that is fixed and is common, a rent bill is common. So if it's common, that means you both have to, it has to be paid. So you put into that electric bill, water bill. The reality of the matter, if you don't pay the electric bill, the electric go out, you're both in the dark. It doesn't go off, the electric doesn't go off in his room and doesn't go off in her room. The electric is off. If it's off, it's off. So in that situation, it's common. I would suggest that you keep all other accounts separate, okay, as well as credit cards and any investment, things of that nature, keep it separate. And if you still keep it separate, then you still need to have, as a single, in reference, as a single person, you still need to do some of those things that apply to you. Even though you may be living with someone, you're not married. So you still may need to make sure you have a disability policy, your 401k, if you desire, or anything that you have on your job, pension, 403b, if you're working for a nonprofit organization like a church or a hospital or school or something like that, they may also have that available to you along with a pension. They may have a 403b or something available to you. So you then want to, you know, utilize that because, again, as I mentioned earlier, it accumulates the best kind of way, tax deferred. And then once you do that, you have your disability and other areas in place. You have your checking account with your live-in partner, and then you have that together. But then you have those other things separate. And then you can start to look at investments and things that help you to focus on the return on your money, which would be the interest rates and things of that nature. So understanding what the return on your money means is that the interest rate, you're getting a better return on your money. So obviously your money can grow better and faster and quicker, but you have less worries because maybe you don't have as many responsibilities as when you're living together and if you're single. And then we're talking about DINKs, dual income, no kids. So this is a great situation because you have less expenses, meaning you don't have any kids. You may have a home or something of that nature, but you don't have any kids. So you should aim to save as much as you possibly, because if you're married, chances are you're probably going to have kids down the line. So that's probably going to be a part of what's going to happen down the line. You're going to have children, so you need to start to save as much as you possibly can. Emergency funds still need to be in place. And even going back to the living together, I didn't say that, but you need to also, both of you, you can have a joint emergency fund, but you also need to have an emergency fund or separate because you're living together, and if you break up, you want to be able to, you may need to get your own place, and you need to be in a position to do that. So that's living together. But going back to the DINKs, aim just, you know, to save as much as you can. so that way when your kids do come, you'll be in a better position. And if you don't have a home yet, you're going to be saving for a home, and it allows you, both of you have income, so you need to be pulling income, preparing, if you don't have a home yet, to prepare for purchasing a home, as well as when those kids come, you need to be saving for long-term goals and things of that nature, because the long-term goals will be for kids, will be for education, buying a home, things of that nature. So it's important. And you can start to look at if you're in a position to handle things properly. Again, having that protection in place, the life insurance, the homeowner's insurance, all of those things, car insurance, disability, all the things you need to have in place. Again, if either both of you are working, so you could probably have some form of retirement in place, whether it be 403B, again, 401K, making sure you maximize those first, because those are the best things to do. You maximize those first. You then start to save as much, and if you increase that as much as you can, that will help you accelerate your savings. You're doing that, and then after that, if you have excess, then you can look at some other, maybe a little more aggressive outside, some more aggressive, because now you're going to be looking for, you're going to be preparing for a home, and then eventually children will come along, and then, of course, you will have educational debt and educational goals that will be in place, as well as other expenses when you have kids. You just have more expenses when you have kids, because they need food. Your food bill will go up. Your electric bill will go up. You need to start taking vacations. All those things start to happen. They need clothes. And so now your expenses will increase just with the fact if you purchase a new home and when you start to have kids. So make sure you have those things in place. And then we're going to talk about single parents. If you're a single parent, okay, all of those things that I talked about as a single person, you need to do. But they become a little more difficult, because if you're a single parent, now you have a child. Maybe you have more than one child. And hopefully, that if for some reason, obviously, you didn't have those children by yourself, so you would make sure that hopefully you do what's necessary to receive whatever you need from the father, so that will help you in your efforts to take care of your children. More importantly, making sure that you're getting the necessary funds to take care of your children. So hopefully that's obviously a legal issue, and I'm not necessarily talking about that, but I'm just saying that is income that will be able to come in that will help you with your necessary expenses for the children. But you need to do some of the same things I just talked about, single and living together, making sure you show up and build a cash reserve, making sure that you take care, and your cash reserve may need to be a little more because you do have children. So you need to make sure that your expenses are there, but you need to build that cash reserve, making sure that you exceed and you do whatever you can in terms of putting the funds that's necessary into your pension program, into the other areas in which you may be offered, whether it be a 401k or 403b at your job. So making sure you maximize that as much as you possibly can, knowing and understanding it may be a little more difficult as a single parent with children because there's other things that come up, particularly as they start to get a little older in those years, 7, 8, between that and 15, when they're playing sports, girls involved in dance and sports, and the boys involved in sports and things of that nature. So now you have baseball, softball, dance, all kinds of things going that also require additional income. So that becomes additional expenses. And if you're not getting help, that becomes more of a burden. So we want to make sure that you put those things in place, particularly if they're young, so that you can then be prepared when they start to generate and get involved in those extracurricular activities that may require additional income. So we want to make sure that you do that. And obviously you have a kid, so now you want to start saving for college and all those things. You can do that 529 plan, IRAs, just all kinds of ways that you start to put funds aside. And all of you, single, living together, things, single parents, making sure that you have an operating budget, making sure that you have a visible, tangible, workable budget that's in place, because this will help you to maintain those things, something that you can see each and every week, each and every day, so it helps you to maintain those areas. And that's important, very, very important. So we want you to do that, and if you do those things properly, I think then as a single parent, then what you'll do is you'll find yourself in a better position, making sure, again, that you build that cash reserve. That's important, because when you build that cash reserve, by building that cash reserve, obviously something comes up all the time. And as it comes up, the more it comes up, then, you know, the more we have a problem, okay? So we want to make sure that we see it. So Sunday evening, I want to give you a nice – we're going to take a break, and we're going to listen to Teach Me Your Voice.
Teach me your voice, oh God.
Teach your voice, oh God.
So I may know your will.
Watch your face,
the closer,
oh God,
I get to you, the promise shall be revealed.
The promise shall be revealed.
Your voice, oh God.
By now,
I may know your will.
I'm coming closer.
Closer I get to you.
Closer I get to you, oh God.
The promise shall be revealed.
Hey.
Your voice, oh God.
So now that I'm standing,
I may know your will.
You begin to show.
A couple weeks ago, and it was a great opportunity to meet some young men, and We had a great opportunity, a great conversation, a great morning, great breakfast, everything. So again, October the 29th, 10 to 2 p.m. with Mr. Gregory Brown, the Man Cave. And November the 3rd through the 5th, Kingdom Empowerment Conference, St. John's Church of the Apostolic Faith, 220 North 27th Street, Camden, New Jersey, with Pastor Burt Wright. Let me say that again. November the 3rd through the 5th, Kingdom Empowerment Conference, 220 North 27th Street, Camden, New Jersey, St. John Church of the Apostolic Faith. I'm sorry, Pastor Burt Wright. It's going to be a great conference. I'm also looking forward there. Pastor Burt Wright has given me an opportunity to do a financial workshop on financial stewardship. I'm just excited about it. I really am. I'm excited about it. Just met Pastor Burt Wright and his wife, Danielle, so I'm excited about it, excited to be a part of this conference, looking forward to it. So, again, I'll give you this information before we close out in about 15 minutes or so, but just wanted to give you a heads up of what's going on in the next few weeks here in October and the beginning of November. And finally on that, just want to give a heads up to Dr. Paul Hopkins and Tim and Aja Hunter and Media Books Incorporated in Claymont, Delaware, for hosting the Finance, Fitness, and Health Seminar yesterday for us. And we just want to thank them, give them all the props for opening up the bookstore. And those of you that are not familiar with Media Books Incorporated, one of the few African-American bookstores here in the tri-state area, you need to check her out. She's at 2099A Philadelphia Pike, Holly Oak Mall in Claymont, Delaware. That's Media Books Incorporated. You can find them on Facebook as well as go on their website and check them out. All the books you want to get, any book you want, you can get, but just a plethora of African-American books, but all books are in there. So give her a shout-out. Give her a call. Go see her again, 2099A Philadelphia Pike, Claymont, Delaware, Media Books Incorporated. Let's get back to Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billum Sr. Quickly, we talked about the Financial Fitness Challenge, the 8-week program, which we started last week. First week last week was your position. This week is your credit score. So we want to make sure that you get an understanding of what you should have done last week, which is your financial position, get a better understanding of who's influencing your money, where you are, where you need to be, some of the things you need to do, how do you get back on track, what kind of professional you need to talk to, find those professionals, we can help you with that. And then this week is your credit score. Get the information you need about your credit score. I know most of you say, I already have my credit score. I know that. Fine. What we want you to do is to make sure that you get your credit score, have it, have a better understanding. Once that's there, then what we want to do there is to make sure we help you have a clear and precise understanding how you got it, how you improve it, and how it's impact your life. Okay, great. Now, we're on the Financial Planning 101. The first thing we talked about, just giving you some strategies and some suggestions and some tips and some ideas for you if you're single. Then if you were living together, DINKS, which is dual income with no kids, and then single parents. And then we're going to finish out with the other four, which is two careers, traditional, blended families, and sandwich families. Okay? Now, two careers. That's just both husband and wife working. You have kids. You have a home. So that's really what we're talking about, to traditional families. If you heard me in the beginning of the show, the traditional families was the husband working and the wife home. Now, it's still a lot of that, but that's not as prevalent as it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. We all know that. We all know in this day and time, for the most part, most of the time, both the husband and wife are working. And of course, not all, that's not all, but I would think if the traditional family was 80% or 70% of the population, I would think traditional family now may be 40% of the population. I don't know, I don't have any statistics on that, but I'm just being in the world, being of my age, meeting families, sitting in front of as many families as I do, and as many workshops and conferences as I give, most of the time, most of the families are working. So I would probably say that traditional family, or one spouse working, the other spouse is at home, and I'm talking about that's the way their family is run. I'm not talking about when the wife has the baby and she stays home for a few months or a year and then goes back to work. I'm talking about that's the way their family is, okay? So I believe the two careers are more now like a traditional family as opposed to the way it used to be. So let's hit the two careers. So now as we're looking at two careers, we're also talking about making sure that you have an emergency fund. Everybody should have an emergency fund, 3 to 6 months. 3 to 6 months saved if you can. And again, building an emergency fund. That's the key word in this, building an emergency fund, not just having it. Very few people just are in a position if your monthly expenses are $4,000 that you can just set aside 3 months or $12,000 or 6 months, okay, of $24,000. So very few people can just do that. So that's a build. It's a process. So we want you to build up to that. And that should be pretty much one of the number one things you should do because everything else comes secondary. Because if for some reason there's an emergency happen, you need to be able to get to that immediately. Most of the time when you have money saved, it may be in your 401k, it may be in your pension, your 403b, or maybe in some kind of investment or something like that. So those things take time to get. You just can't call them up overnight and they send you a check, or you don't have a debit card to get that money immediately, or you just can't write a check a lot of times. Now, if you have a mutual fund or something like that, a money market account, a lot of times you have a checking account with some of those things, some of those investment types of investment that allows you to write a check right then. So if you have that, then that's great. But one of the things we want to make sure is that what you do here is that you have that emergency fund. I don't care if you are single or if you don't have any children, but particularly if you have children. There's always emergencies happening with children, so you want to make sure you have that in place first. Then, of course, you're going to start to build and save for a college funding, a college plan, your retirement. So you want to make sure that those things are in place. And I continue to do this. You either work for yourself, you either work for a for-profit company, or you work for a nonprofit. Those are the three things. So if you work for a profit company, they have some kind of pension program and or 403B or 401K, I'm sorry, or 401K. If you work for a nonprofit, a church, a school, a hospital, something of that nature that's considered a nonprofit, they have some pension program and or 403B, which allows you to contribute to that. And if you work for yourself, then you can put together your own pension plan retirement plan. Well, those are the best way to save. If you have a 401K or 403B, those are the best way to save because it allows you to save your money tax deferred. It allows you to put your money in. And it also allows you to save on your taxes because it's pre-tax dollars. You put money in there first. So you want to maximize those areas first that allows you to put money in, put the most money in when you're younger. So it saves on when you saves on taxes because that's when your tax base is higher. And then you can start to withdraw when you're older or more mature, when you retire, when your tax base is less. So you want to maximize that before you start to go out and look at other investments, outside hardcore investments. I'm not saying you can't, but again, I always talk about the three P's, which is protection, preservation, and profit. So we want to make sure that those things are in there. So your protection is there, particularly for your family. The life insurance, the wills, the homeowners insurance, health insurance, disability, all those things in order so that then you can move to preservation, protecting your income. Those things such as the 403Bs, the 401Ks, things like that where your principal is not at risk. You're able to accumulate money so that when the time comes, it's there, and then you can start looking at the other areas. But then if you have children, you should be looking at situations where you're saving for college funding, 529s, things of that nature, educational IRAs, things that will help you with that. And that's where you should be with that area if you're two careers. Then if for some reason you are in what we call the traditional area where there's one spouse working, the other parent's home, all of those things I just talked about is paramount. Because if there's one income, you definitely need to make sure you have an emergency fund. Because you may still have the same thing, same kids, same expenses, same house, same everything, but you only have one income. Now, that one income, if it's a huge income, can obviously take care of everything. But if you lose that income, now you have no backup. So the emergency fund, the savings vehicle, the college planning, your pension program, all of those things, your 403B, 401K, all of those things should be maximized, put in place. Your insurances, your life insurance, disability, health insurance, all those things, wills, all those things need to be in place. It's paramount that they're in place in this situation. Because particularly if it's one spouse, if something happens, particularly if something happens prematurely in terms of a death, then that spouse now has to now have the resources to continue to move forward, and then he or she may have to start to work. Maybe that's something that they haven't done in a long time. And the more mature they get, the harder it is for them to get the kind of job to maybe generate the kind of income, particularly if they don't have any real experience. So we need to make sure those things are paramount and they're in place. So that's important. And then you start having blended families. And blended families are, if you didn't listen in the beginning, you weren't on in the beginning, is when you have two divorced people who now come together, get married, and then they bring their children from the previous marriages. They bring those children, particularly if they're young, obviously. They bring those children into the marriages. Okay, and even if those children are not living with them, there's a financial responsibility, either coming in or going out. And if it's the man, probably there's a financial responsibility going to the ex, if the ex-spouse or the former spouse, if the children are young enough and the children are not living with you on a permanent basis, there's still some financial responsibility going out. And if it's a female, then maybe there's some income coming in from the former husband because maybe the children are living with you and then the income coming in. So we need to make sure, again, all of these are paramount. A lot of these things don't change. A lot of the responsibilities in terms, particularly in the protection area, don't change. The life insurance, the disability, those things don't change. They don't ever change. The savings for kids going to college, the 529s, the educational IRAs, those things don't change. The emergency funds, those don't change. Those responsibility obligations, strategies, they don't change. They don't change for anyone. Everyone needs to have, I don't care what situation, everyone needs to have those things. So you need to make sure those things are in place. Okay, so I just want to make sure of that, so that all of those things are in place and they don't change, all right? And then we want to get to the sandwich family. And that sandwich family comes meaning that maybe there's a parent that's moving in with the family, a grandparent. For the kids, it's a grandparent. For the, obviously, the mother and father, there's a parent that's moving in. And usually when the parent comes in, there's other responsibilities there, and hopefully that parent has some kind of maybe Social Security or a pension or something that could help with their responsibility. Because, again, if they're older and they can't live by themselves, maybe there's another level of responsibility there. Maybe there's a nurse or someone that's coming in to help assisting living, and somebody's coming in to help them with their current situation. So we want to make sure that all their situation is in place, all their financial documents and things are in order, making sure life insurance and things of that nature are in order, so that if something happens and when something happens, that things are in place. And that's what you want to make sure there. But nothing changes with your family. All the things I talked about in blended family, traditional family, two careers, single parent, dual income, no kids, living together, singles, all those things come into place, particularly the emergency fund. We all need to make sure that those things are in place. If those things are in place, then what we do, we don't have a problem there. So I just want to make sure that you understand that and have that, okay? So now we talked about single, living together, dual income, no kids, single parents, two careers, traditional families, blended families, and sandwich families. And the difference between blended and family, blended family is when you have two adults coming from previous marriages, remarrying and bringing children from previous marriages into their new marriage, and that's what you call a blended. So you're blending families, two existing families together. That's what you call blending. And sandwich families is just bringing an outside person into your current situation, and usually that's a parent, meaning a grandparent coming and living with you, and that's what you consist of, a sandwich family. Traditional, we talked about, as opposed to two career. Traditional would be one parent, one spouse working, the other spouse not working, and then, of course, two careers is when both spouses are working. So those are just some information to help you with that. But the number one thing that is paramount in all of them, if you remember anything, if you don't remember anything, remember that there should be some form of emergency fund of 3 to 6 months. Building, not having, building. So you need to build that over time. So I want to give you a little information. We have about a little less than 4 minutes. I'm going to end with a song that I love, which is Stand Up. And I want to end with that song, but what I want to do is give you some more information. As I give you this information, then for the next couple of weekends, you'll be able to follow me. Of course, you can go to my social media. You can go to my website at www.f4ff.net or call me at area code 856-577-2903. October the 22nd, Better Business Solutions Expo and Conference in Finley Recreation Center, 10 to 3 p.m., 7701 Mansfield Avenue, Man Cave, October the 29th, 10 to 2 p.m., Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mr. Gregory Brown, again, the Man Cave, October the 29th. And November the 3rd through the 5th, Kingdom Power Empowerment Conference, 220 North 27th Street, Camden, New Jersey, St. John Church of the Apostolic Faith, Pastor Burt Wright. Again, you can go on their website and Facebook to see them. Again, November the 3rd through the 5th, Kingdom Empowerment Conference, 220 North 27th Street, Camden, New Jersey, St. John Church of the Apostolic Faith, Pastor Burt Wright. Again, have a great week. Second week of the Financial Fitness Challenge is your credit score. First week was your position. Make sure you do that. You're on with Financial Fitness with Derek T. Billups Sr. We're going to close out with the song Stand Up. I will see you next week at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Stand up.
Come on, y'all ready for this one? Listen.
Because you're right.
Yeah.
We are
Come on now. Sometimes it gets heavy.